There are many reasons why Wisconsin is such a great state, and I would say one of the reasons is we have a great cooperative extension program here. Many programs and services that are offered through cooperative extension, you may be involved in some. You may be involved in some you didn't even know that was cooperative extension was behind it. So I'm really happy to have Rick Clemmie come by. He is a professor, of course. He was in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison and has now and has been for a while dean and director of cooperative extension, that division of UW-Extension. And Rick, great to have you back.
Thanks, Larry. It's always fun to be here.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to give our listeners a chance to join in. Again, you may have some questions about UW Extension. Maybe you'd like to get involved in some of the programs, or maybe you already have some experiences to share. Certainly love to hear about those experiences as well. Call us at 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post, if you've got some good photos, post them on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Rick, you've been on, or should I say Dean Clemmie?
Rick is fine. Thank you.
You've been on with us in the past, and I think every single time, start out by asking you to give us some background, a little history of cooperative extension. This is pretty interesting history, actually.
Well, cooperative extension has been in Wisconsin since 1912.
Yeah.
E. Luther was a first agent that we had. Actually, Oneida County hired him without even any state structure around. No state funding, no federal funding. They needed somebody to work with people who were trying to farm in the Northwoods. And E.O. Luther came in, and we got great pictures of he on his American Indian motorcycle, trying to get out in touch with people that he worked with. That's a common theme, that we still continue to reach out and connect with people. We're very relational. In other words, everything we do, it builds on relationships we have with clientele, partners, volunteers. And it might not be on a motorcycle these days. More likely to be by social media these days, or face-to-face, or working with groups. So we work across the state. We have an office in every county. We're on three tribal nations. We have campus-based faculty on five campuses in the UW system. Most of those are at Madison. And basically, we take applied research, evidence-based research, build educational programs that meet the needs of people throughout the state where they live. And that means that those programs in individual counties, and we have faculty in every county of the state, actually are tailored to the needs of the people in that county.
Yeah, it's kind of that's a really cool thing, I think, about cooperative extension. And there's I also think it's kind of an interesting partnership in terms of the county and the state and the federal government. It's all three.
That's actually why we're called cooperative. Mm-hmm. Probably most people think that it's because you must have worked with cooperatives at some point, which we do, mm-hmm. or that you do cooperative programs, which we do. Technically, we're cooperative because when the Smith-Lever Act was passed at the federal level in 1914 that provided funding through USDA to all state extension services, it was built on a premise that there would be three sources of funding, cooperative funding, federal, state, and local. And we continue that to this day.
Yeah, that's the interesting, I think, a really interesting thing. And it's also, I think, expanded in so many ways. I think the original, as you were talking, the original, and is still a very important part to work with the state's farmers, but there's a whole lot more.
Well, there's fascinating pictures in our history that if you ever get Jerry Apps on here, he could talk about the history of cooperative extension much more eloquently than I could. First of all, because he's more eloquent. And second of all, because he knows that history better than I do. But we have great examples of the famous potato trains, mm-hmm. where people from campus would travel around the state on trains back in the early part of the 20th century, reaching educators, talking about the best practices of producing potatoes. There's all sorts of examples of our 4-H clubs that started in Walworth County in 1914, and we just celebrated that centennial in the last couple of years. So it just goes on and on. We have pictures of our what were called home ec agents at one point, actually assembling people to help to make mattresses. I mean, it's just whatever was important at the time, that's what we did. sure, we have changed over time. We're much more contemporary than those examples. Yes, we still engage potato growers, again, via social media and other kinds of networking that we do, and working directly with the Wisconsin Potato Vegetable Growers Association, both on campus and in those counties. Yes, we're still involved in building capacity of organizations that serve families and communities. Yes, we still have a very vibrant 4-H club, but they look a lot different than they did even 10 years ago, not to mention 50 to 80.
I'm kind of smiling to myself because I was remembering back, there was an extension project that was run on Wisconsin Public Radio. There was a farm program back in the 30s, and there was... you know, of course, it was tough times for farmers and everybody else at that time period. And the guy who was the farm director at the time worked with an extension guy in teaching how to harvest, butcher a pig. And they did it on the air, on radio.
You know, that requires some pretty clever curriculum development and delivery to pull that off. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, that was a long, long, long time. Well, that was back in the 30s, and I wasn't here yet then.
Just make that clear.
I want to make that clear. It wasn't me who did it.
But neither was I, by the way.
No, so. You weren't okay, either. Good. So there we go. By the way, give us a call with your questions and comments or maybe experiences to share about co-op extension. Have you been involved with it? I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234 or maybe email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and post your question or your comments or your experiences there. And there are so many. I just wanted to talk about some of the programs, some of the other programs that are going on. There's one program called Leadership Wisconsin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what's that? What's that about? That's a development organization, is it not?
Well, it's basically a leadership development organization. Some of our listeners may remember it as Wisconsin Rural Leadership Program. Had a very heavy rural orientation. We, Sarah Schlosser directs that program as part of Cooperative Extension. And it's a two-year program where people from around the state are invited to join for 2 years of intensive leadership development training, which includes leadership experiences and learning from others locally, regionally, nationally, and even internationally. So it's a very intense program. It requires a lot of time, and actually each participant is asked to contribute dollars toward their tuition in that program. That connects with many of our leadership programs that we offer locally, too. So that's not the only leadership program we have. We have leadership programs that are in counties or shared across counties, and many of those have been going on for quite some time. I believe we're in our 16th class of Leadership Wisconsin.
Wow.
And that's 32 years that it's been operating, and it's going very well.
And, you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, too, about another area of extension, Community and Natural Resources and Economic Development, or we always called it CONRAD.
That's what we do, yeah.
And there's a lot of leadership connected with that. But talk about that that part of it.
Well, that we call those program areas. So just to review a little bit, we have program areas that are intensively involved in agriculture and horticulture, 4-H and youth development, family living, and, as you mentioned, the Community Natural Resource Economic Development Program. This is our newest program area, although it is about 25 years old. And we have community development educators in about 50, 55 of our 72 counties. Those educators work with economic development corporations, county agencies, nonprofits to build capacity. And it's quite broad, right? Community, yeah. Natural resource, and economic development. That's quite a plateful.
Yeah, that's a lot. And for an individual to be a specialist in that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, that also means that occasionally we are sharing resources across county lines, too. Because it's really hard to be an expert in all those areas. And that work has even changed over time. 15 years ago, when the smart growth legislation was passed in this state, that had every county's provided incentive for counties to develop long-term plans for land use, we got very heavily involved in facilitating those discussions. Of course, over the last 5 years, you know what the mantra is in terms of our state policy, jobs, jobs, jobs.
Yeah.
So we've had to change our work to We're going to engage in that planning process. We're going to be involved in working in economic development. We're even involved in starting to work on some educational programs with the small business development centers and others that really are targeting what we call stage two businesses, those with 10 to 100 employees, because we know job growth is much more likely to occur in those firms because they've got established.
Yeah, they're established.
As opposed to new firms, which unfortunately, even though it's a great entrepreneurial spirit they bring to their work, the failure rates are fairly high in those. So we actually have kind of focused, we still do work with entrepreneurs, and we try to get them organized so they can work with small business development centers and those in the private sector. However, we also think there's some real educational opportunities for what I would call small to mid-sized businesses.
Yeah. And so there's training that goes on there, or is it just expertise supplying to those?
Yeah, it's actually a blend. Yeah. We actually many times describe our work in two ways. We call it the what and the how.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You know, the history of extension is information dissemination, right?
Yeah.
And if you go back to the growth of the dairy industry in this state, it was very much about information dissemination. As you look through mechanization of our agriculture or the development of hybrid seed or the use of integrated pest management, up until about the turn of the century, which is a funny term to use now, turn of the century 2000, we were much more of the sort of the expert model, information dissemination, where our jobs have really changed quite a bit. And so we are about, yes, we got to have content knowledge. You kind of got to know what you're talking about, right?
Sure.
Just as importantly to us, it's how you develop education. How do you build relationships? How do you build partnerships? How do you develop curriculum so that people can learn effectively, whoever they are in the state? So we kind of tend to call this work more capacity building. So helping people make better decisions. We've always said that.
Yeah.
It's really about building capacity. It could be in a multifamily farm situation. It could be a group of adult leaders in a 4-H club in a county. It could be a county board. We've done strategic planning with county boards several times over the last decade. It could be with nonprofits. There's all kinds of work we do that requires, as I said earlier, sort of the what and the how.
I'm going to go into a little more depth on these areas and some of the other areas as well that Co-op Extension has been working on with our guest today, Rick Clemmie, who is Dean and Director of the Cooperative Extension Division of UW Extension. Great to have him along. And again, if you want to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with Rick. You stay with us. Every community in the state has, I think, to some extent, different needs. It might be a rural community, maybe it's an urban environment, might be a low-income area, might be a high-income area. And so they all have different needs. And to meet those needs, we have UW Extension, Cooperative Extension, doing a lot of work. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Net. Great to have back Rick Clemmie. Rick is a professor and also Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension with the UW Extension. And Rick, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
You may have some questions about Cooperative Extension or maybe some experiences to share. It's such a broad range of agriculture programs, family living programs, leadership, community and environmental and natural resources, with geology. The Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey is connected. So lots going on. Questions, comments, or experiences to share, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And let's take a call. Kurt in Chippewa Falls, thanks for calling.
Hello. Yeah, you're welcome. Hi, guys. Just a little history first, Rick. I remember our family dairy farm was in straddled the Clark-Taylor County line. And our county agent worked out of Medford. And I remember in the late 40s and the 50s, he was a regular visitor, became a friend with my dad, who worked with him on a lot of projects at that time. And then some years later, when I came back to the farm myself and farmed the same farm, I struck up a relationship with the agent that was there at that time, and I've worked with other county agents now here retired. I'm in my retirement in a big yard with the Chippewa County office. So I think you know, County Extension and the county agents are just a fantastic service that Wisconsin provides for farmers and housewives and communities across the board. Specifically, I'm running back in the late 80s and 90s, farmers themselves, you know, the dairy farmers especially, but others as well, during and after the 1980s farm crisis, requested the university to add what became the Center for Integrated Agriculture. And I know, Rick, when I was serving on the advisory board for that, for the Center of Ag, you were working with us then. Do you still work with CIAS? And in any case, how is that project doing given the funding cuts that the university has experienced?
Well, Kurt, thanks for the call. You got some great points there. First of all, you really do a nice job of talking about how our history has evolved with the farming community of intensive lots of one-on-one work back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. It was very common for our agents to essentially be on the farm a lot. It's changed a little bit over the last few years because there is a high number of crop consultants, agronomists, nutritionists out there, and we work with them as well to ensure that they are serving the needs of farmers throughout the state. So I appreciate that. Center for Integrated Ag Systems, thank you, and I appreciate you having been involved in that. I served as director for that for about 10 years in the 90s. And the center still moves on. Mm-hmm. It exists. We had started a lot of our work with intensive management of grazing, of dairy cattle. We started a school for beginning dairy farmers on the Madison campus. We work very well with a lot of local foods, community foods-based kinds of operations, and continue that work to this day. So they're hanging in there like everybody else in the College of Ag and Life Sciences, and I will give them a good word if they're not listening right now on your appreciation for what they did.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Kurt. I appreciate your call very much. I want to give some others a chance to join in as well. Dave in Rice Lake, your turn. Thanks for calling, Dave.
Oh, thank you. No, we work. I'm the Economic Development Director for Barron County Economic Development, and we work tied closely with Extension on, I guess, daily, to be honest with you. We're working with them in one program you'd mentioned so far, which was the Stage 2 company expansions, I guess, which is kind of commonly been known as economic gardening throughout the country, but we're working with them to set up that program, looking forward to it. And then just recently, Extension brought a financial coalition to Barron County, which was established a few months ago, and now we're going to be running a program for all of the juniors in high school this spring on a financial reality program, which really looking forward to.
Boy, that sounds great. Rick, comment?
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate the partnership. As I said, we're very relational, and we always like to think that we can add value to both partners when we work together on issues involving economic development, economic growth, job creation, and financial management. You're speaking of, sometimes we call that program Reality Check, and it's really geared toward high school students. It's jointly offered with our youth development educator, who is still Mary Pardee. And Missy Bablich, who I think is our family living educator in Barron County, working collaboratively. And what they do is they essentially develop financial simulations. And they say, here's how much money you're making in this job, and here's what your financial obligations are. And it indeed becomes a reality check for many high school students as they begin to realize that, wow, some of these jobs I'm thinking about really aren't going to do what I would like to do in terms of the income I would need for what I want to do. So it's been a very useful project. That financial management work covers a spectrum of working with families, younger families, families who are perhaps thinking about developing retirement accounts, families who are in maybe a business like a multifamily farm where we're talking about succession planning. Very much depends on financial management. So there's some very good programs that you've referenced, and I appreciate your own personal experience way stronger than me telling about it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks,
You're
Dave. thanks a lot for calling. I have a soft spot in my heart for Barron County because some of my PhD research, which was kind of in the community development area, to be honest, was done in Barron County. So lots of fond memories of working there. Jim in Ironwood, Michigan, up next. Jim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, Larry. This is Jim Lawrence, and I'm the president at Gogebic Community College in Ironwood. We're right on the border with Hurley in Iron County, Wisconsin. We serve a number of folks in Iron County, and through that, I would have to tell you folks that the extension staff in Iron County are second to none. They're great, collaborative folks. We're currently working on a regional approach to improve broadband connectivity for educational purposes as well as community development. And I want the dean to know that his staff up here in the far north woods do just an excellent job, and we're just pleased that we can work with them.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Great. I appreciate that. I know that Will Andreessen, who is our Conrad educator and a department head in Iron County, has a great team. They work collaboratively. They sort of got rid of all their little program silos and worked together. So when you're talking about a project about access to broadband, connectivity across the northern part of the state, that's something that affects everybody.
Yeah.
And it's not just a business proposition. It's about students who may need it simply to be able to connect with their schools for assignments and for turning in things. People who might want to be able to conduct a business as a consultant and live in the northern part of the state, you need to have broadband access to do it. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we also aren't bothered by the state line.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's 20 feet of water that separates the state, and we let 20 feet of water that's probably a foot deep become a huge wall. And they've worked around that, and we found collaborative partnerships, and I just, well done.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks so much for calling. I appreciate your call. Boy, that's great. You can join in, too, by the way. Experience to share or question, call us at 800-642-1234. I am turning next to Sue in Cottage Grove. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Larry, and hi, Rick. This is Sue Nitzke.
Hi, Sue Nitzke. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Very good. A guest on this show, I bet, a few times.
Many times.
I thought I would share with you an experience I had last week. I was talking with a friend, and she was saying that she wished there was an opportunity for her granddaughter to learn some skills like cooking and baking and things like that. And I said, well, she should check if the 4-H Club has a leader for that kind of thing in her county. And she looked at me like, I can't do that. She doesn't live on a farm.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd give Rick a chance to kind of clarify.
Sue, thank you. It's good to hear your voice again, by the way. And raising a good point.
Excellent point, Sue. Yeah, I tell people that one of the best strengths of cooperative extension is we have a huge legacy in agriculture and 4-H and home ec. And sometimes one of our biggest challenges is that we have a huge legacy in agriculture, 4-H, and home ec. And it's helping people understand that, indeed, cooperative extension has evolved a lot. Our 4-H program is among that. Our 4-H programs have educational opportunities and programs in virtually anything you can think of, which includes a lot of non-agricultural related activities. Yeah, sure, we're still going to have 4-H clubs. We're going to have kids that are raising and showing livestock at various fairs, county fairs around. And yet, our most populated, I think I got this right, our program director will correct me later if I'm wrong, but one of our most popular programs is actually arts and communication.
Yeah.
A lot of our kids, and another thing to understand, a lot of our 4-H kids, they can be in 4-H for over 10 years.
Yeah.
You can start as a clover bud when you're 6 years old, and you can stay until you're 18, and that's really kind of a lifelong experience of connection. So, those of you out there who have kids, grandkids, who could value a gain from the experience of being in what we call a leadership program.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I call 4-H a workforce development program Because frankly, what we are is we're building skills for kids that are leadership skills, communication skills, self-confidence skills, the ability to work in teams. And if you do that over a number of years, what we find is some of our young kids become teenagers and they become leaders as well. So I would encourage anybody out there to contact your county office, talk to your 4-H youth development educator or your community club, 4-H community club coordinator. And I'm sure Jackie Gann in Dane County, once she gets back from Farm Tech Days in up by Sun Prairie, would be happy to provide that kind of information for those of you in Dane County.
It's a great. I once got an award and relating to Co-op Extension. I said I didn't get involved with Cooperative Extension until I was 6 years old, and I was in 4-H from that time until I was 18 years old and learned so much. And this at State Fair here a couple of weeks ago, I was interviewing some kids from Milwaukee on stage. And, you know, these are kids that are involved in archery and robotics and, you know, the kinds of programs that, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're from. If it's city in central Milwaukee or in the middle of rural Dane County.
Well, that's a good point. There's also a huge stereotype of 4-H being primarily farm rural. And indeed, our 4-H youth development programs reach all across the state. And I was happy that you were able to engage those youth. Demetrius Brown is our 4-H youth development educator in Milwaukee County, brought a number of youth to UW Extension Day at the fair, which is about 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
And it was just fabulous to see that kind of involvement. And really, our chance to grow in urban areas has been around, of course, non-agricultural areas, arts and communication, in urban gardening can be an area, and STEM. Science, technology, engineering, and math has been a really good opportunity for us because there's great opportunities for partnership for our educators with middle schools. They often do summer programs, 1 or 2 week programs that can connect with their curriculum. In Milwaukee County, we continue to work on with the Milwaukee Metro School District about helping earth science teachers incorporate that into their curriculum as well. So I'm pleased to hear that that experience that you had in Milwaukee County. It was a wonderful day.
Oh, it was great. John in Ferryville has a question.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, John. Your turn. What's on your mind?
Yeah, in the bygone days, the Extension Service farmers could count on them to give objective science-based evaluation of various hybrid seeds, for example, or other farm inputs, herbicides, fertilizers. Now it seems to me that most of the larger operations get most of their so-called scientific advice from the companies that are selling stuff. And I was wondering if Extension has figured out a way to get involved in that process where you could get a farmer could get more objective analysis on various purchased farm inputs.
Sure. Rick, comment?
It's a fantastic question, and it is actually kind of a challenge for our agriculture agents out across the state, because indeed, as you pointed out, John, that there are so many voices out there who are selling. Many of these corporations have built their own pseudo-extension service.
Yeah, yeah.
They provide services with inputs. And so how do you separate all that out is a great question. So a couple of examples. In terms of selection of corn hybrids, we have a faculty member on the Madison campus, Joe Lauer, been there over 20 years, I think, who every year conducts very extensive hybrid evaluation trials. And that information is always available. And we, in the early part of January, I believe, there's always a seed grower meeting. So there's opportunities to actually get that sort of arm's length objective comparison of these hybrids so you can actually look at those. It becomes a bit more complicated because many of these hybrids are what we call stacked with various genetic inputs to be resistant to various diseases or insects or wheat, herbicides and the like. So that's made it a little bit more difficult. But I think our job still is to be able to provide that information and help frame it. A few years ago, well, we get this all the time. When we have an ag agent vacancy, you can predict the litany of things that are going to come up, why we don't need one. Well, we don't need an ag agent. We've got all these consultants and nutritionists, and we got the salespeople, and we got the internet, and more information than you possibly need. Which I say basically is exactly why you need somebody who can sort through it and localize it and customize it. We had a vacancy in Jefferson County a few years back, and we had a large-scale dairy farmer who I wouldn't expect necessarily to be that supportive of a local ag educator. And he said, you know what? We really need that local ag educator, because there are times I simply would like to talk to somebody who's not trying to sell me something, who can be objective and has the connections that I can use to help me make better decisions as well. So, John, we're doing the best we can in a fairly complicated environment in terms of providing that kind of information. I mean, we're all about, we got to be about building relationships, being trusted with objective research-based information, and we still have that as a real high priority for our work across the state.
John, thanks again. I want to give some others a chance to join in here, but I really appreciate your call. Gail in Watertown, turning to you next. Thanks a lot for calling.
Oh, hi. Yes, learning like this sounds so fantastic, and are there programs for adults? I mean, for adult farmers there are, but for adult women who don't know home ec very much at all?
Yep. Thank you, Gail, for that question. So you're in Dodge County, I presume?
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you go to your Dodge County office, our family living educator there is... Uh-oh. I'm gonna
Dodge County office... What is it called?
So it's a Dodge County University of Wisconsin Extension Office, Extension Office. And if you go there and talk to our family living educator, who I believe his name is Patty Carroll, we'll be able to provide you with some opportunities for educational programs that are available through our family living programs, for example. Yeah, so that's what I would do. And if I messed up Patty's name, of course, I'll hear about it soon. My apologies, but I think there are... call, have the conversation, and see what you find.
Yeah. You said through the family living program?
Yep, as part of our UW Extension programs.
I'm so happy you're on the radio today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it. And people always have, you know, this day and age, we used to say, have to tell people how to go to your phone book and where to find your cooperative extension phone number. Now, more people probably go online.
Yep, and if you Google UW Extension, it'll come up fairly high in your Google search, and then you can go, it'll list the counties, you can link to your county, you can go to that website, you can see what programs are there, you can find out the staff directory, all the contact information, and for some of you, you may actually be interested in friending us by Facebook or Twitter, depending on the county, in terms of providing that kind of information as well.
Lots of good stuff. Andy in Hancock, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I have a question about the UW Extension, their involvement with young farmers. I'm currently an undergrad at UW River Falls, and I'm looking to, you know, start my career this upcoming year in agriculture and just branching out, wondering if the Extension deals with different crop selection, talking about different margins, because, you know, profit margins are so small nowadays.
Yep.
Just brand new things that young growers can do to be profitable and successful in agriculture.
Well, Andy, first of all, thank you for wanting to pursue a career in production agriculture. We need you. We need a lot of young people. Our average farmer age in the state is in its upper 50s, and we need people who want to get engaged in agriculture. So I appreciate it. Great program in agriculture at UW River Falls. And do well in that. So you're in Hancock, which I think, is that in Adams County?
Washera County.
So
Washera County, our ag agent there is Ken Williams. And Ken Williams actually is one of the so we share expertise across county boundaries in the central part of the state, and Ken brings the stronger farm management aspect to that. I think a conversation with Ken Williams in the Washera County Extension Office would be good. And I just tested out on my smartphone here, making sure I got Patty Carroll's name right. I did. So we're good there. And so if you go to the website for Washera County, you'll be able to contact Ken Williams, and he'd be happy to talk to you.
And thanks so much for calling. Boy, did the time fly by here. Rick, there's still, I'm, Still things somebody wanted to know about the expansion of the brewing program through UW Extension. We don't have time to talk about it, so you're going to have to come back and visit with us again. It was great having a chance to talk to you today. Appreciate
Wonderful.
It.
Always enjoy it. Thank you, Larry.
Rick Clemme, Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension for the University of Wisconsin Extension. It's always great to have him come by. Boy, the time flew by, and lots of great information shared, I think. Tomorrow, oh my goodness, it's Garden Talk, and guess what? Diana Alfeth, horticulture educator in Pierce County, will be our guest to talk about late summer gardening. Thanks for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.